Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the Evan Witalison. State of Wisconsin. Welcome back, buddy. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. I was down in Nashville, Tennessee for the Beachbody Summit. Beachbody is the company that I coach through, trying to help and encourage other people to lose some weight. And I'm going to quickly, before we get into the meat of the show, I'm going to mention some things that were discussed and talked about at this conference and just some things on my mind. So Carl Deichler is the founder of Beachbody. He founded it to be on a mission to end the obesity trend in this country. And he set a stat during the opening ceremony on Thursday night that really struck me. 72% of all Americans are either overweight or obese right now. 72%. That is up from, I think, 62% just around the last time they did the study. That number is climbing. That number is not going down. And it made me think about where I was at prior to finding Beachbody. And finding the, Insanity and P90X3 and 22 Minute Hardcore. And I'm going to say right now, when you're 381 pounds, your life sucks. I'm going to say that right now. That's where I was at when I was at my heaviest. I was 381 pounds. And my life sucked. I lost my breath going up a flight of stairs. Going up a flight of stairs to my bedroom, I would be out of breath. That's how out of shape I was. I had no energy. I had no self-confidence. I had no drive, no ambition for while I was heavy. And then I lost 80 of that and put a bunch on again, about 50 pounds back on before I found Insanity. And if it wasn't for finding Insanity and then P90X3, then 22-Minute Hardcore, if it wasn't for those things, because the question was that, right, where would I be without Beachbody at the conference? Think about that. Where would you be without Beachbody? And for me, it was simple. I wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't be hosting the show with you. I would be miserable. I would have no self-esteem. And I would probably be on a whole crap load of medications for a whole crap load of medical problems if I never found Beachbody. Because when I first hit play on Insanity, I was starting to go through some bad habits that I had kicked when I started my fitness journey. Yeah, I'm still be considered overweight and probably may still be considered slightly obese depending on the definition you're using. But I feel good about myself. I'm not a finished project. I'll have some work to do, but I'm getting closer to where I want to be. And I want to help people get to where they want to be. If there's anyone listening to the show right now that is sitting there not happy or comfortable where they are today, then just shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com. That's coachevan66@gmail.com. And I want to help you. I want to help you take back your life. I want to help you feel better about yourself. I want to help you be you. Again, because without Beachbody, I wouldn't be me. So with that, Troy, I'm sorry to go on a little bit of a rant here. But with that, I'm going to throw it back to you. How are things going in in Delaware today?
Yeah, you traveled down in Nashville. I traveled down, I traveled across to Delaware for my work, big interview fair the next 3 days. Got to hire a bunch of people for a contract that our company procured with a school district out here. So pretty excited about that. I met a lot of great people today. Got a lot more interviews set up tomorrow. So fun time. You know, sometimes traveling is a kind of an inconvenience, but you know, it is part of what I do for a job. And you know, Evan, as I was interviewing today, Major League Baseball had been quite quiet up until this weekend. Few trades going down. I mean, the Pirates got rid of Mark Melancon over the weekend. That was like big time news. Oh my God, you would have thought that the world was ending in Pittsburgh, because what are they doing? Trading away an all-star closer, and they're only a few games out of the playoffs, and blah, blah, blah. And then today, Evan, I think every team got involved in Major League Baseball. It was exciting. I wasn't able to keep up because, of course, I was working. I was busy all day. But, man, I kept back to the hotel, and I just went on, and I started reading. And you could sit and research the deals that went on all night. I mean, how amazing was it, Evan? We were just talking a week ago, not much going on. Today, boom, the dominoes fell, and it just kept going. It just kept going and going and going and going and going. And these teams and some big-name players, as you put in the preview today, and I thank you for scheduling the show since I was out doing some work. Big names, Evan, not just prospects. There's big-name players that can go in, help teams immediately. And, I mean, honestly, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I guess we start with our beloved Brewers. Jonathan Lucroy got dealt today to the Texas Rangers, and we thought that was going to happen. I think it's a pretty good deal. You don't know what you're going to get in return, but you got two top 70 prospects. You supposedly got one and two in the Rangers farm system. I didn't want to see Lucroy go, but I think with them dealing them in the rebuild, I think that they got a fair deal for Jonathan Lucroy. What do you think?
Yeah, well, let's take a step back to Saturday night first. Well, Saturday night, get an alert on my phone that Jonathan Lucroy has been traded to the Cleveland Indians. They got a big load for Lucroy from the Indians. I was very happy with that return. And then Lucroy decides, no, I don't want to go to Cleveland, because Cleveland wouldn't waive his option for 2017, and they wouldn't commit to him being the catcher beyond the remainder of this year. So he didn't want any part of that. So he didn't waive his no-trade clause. So that means the Brewers, and that happened Sunday, that means the Brewers had some work to do, and they send Lucroy and Jeremy Jeffers for the number 2 and 3 prospects in the entire Rangers organization. Well, they sent the two prospect is Lewis Brinson, an outfielder, and the number 3 prospect, Luis Ortiz, a pitcher from the Rangers, for Lucroy and Jeremy Jeffers. And I like what they got for Lucroy, I should say, and also the player to be named later. I like what they got for Lucroy. I think they got a really good deal. I think the Indians deal, because they got 4 players. Originally for Luke, would have been a little bit better, and all 4 were top 25 in the Indians organization. But I like this trade. I like what the Brewers got in this haul. I really do. I think they got some great talent. I think they got some great players. I think they got some really good future pieces for for Lucroy and Jeff. And the other trade. The Brewers also, before they traded Lucroy, they traded Will Smith to the Giants, and they got for 2 prospects, Andrew Susick, a catcher, who will probably be on the big league roster by the end of this year as he's a Triple-A prospect for the Giants, 26-year-old catcher, and then the Giants' top prospect, pitcher Phil Bickford, who should ETA be 2018. That's what it was looking like for the Giants. When he was at the Giants, it looked like the arrival time for Pickford would be 2018. So again, very happy with what they got for Will Smith. You don't normally get a top prospect for a bullpen help, but the Brewers were able to get some great help get some great pieces for Will Smith. Overall, I think the Brewers did really well at the trade deadline, moving those 3 guys. And I put this question out on Twitter,
And I, you know, what grade do you give the Brewers for their trades today? 34% said A, 28% said B, 24% said C, and 14% rated as a D or an F. I had to put D and F together because Twitter only allows four options for poll questions. But anyways, it's looking like most of Twitter is happy with the trade, and so is most of the sports writers. They're very happy with what the Rangers did today, because other than Jeffers and Lucroy, they also got Carlos Beltran. And Lucroy today, Troy, was batting seventh in the Rangers order. That just shows you how deep the Rangers roster is, that Lucroy is going to be batting seventh, more than likely. And then so the Rangers got an A, of course, for most baseball, and then the Brewers got high scores as well for this trip. But I'm happy for it. I hate seeing Lucroy go. Hate seeing Jeffers go. Hate seeing Will Smith go. Three really good guys in the organization. Good people. Good players. So it always sucks when you see good people go. But you know, it had to be done. The Brewers are in rebuild, and Lucroy would not be here by the time the rebuild came to fruition, what the Brewers are hoping to do. Now, I don't think the Brewers are done. There is this was the non-waiver trade deadline, and that kind of irritates me a little bit when the baseball writers and ESPN and all these other sports talk stations are referring to this as the trade deadline. It's not the trade deadline. It's the non-waiver trade deadline. You can do trades in August, but you have to make it clear waivers. So I think the Brewers might do a little bit of work in the waiver portion. But I also think, and my brother and I were talking about this, I think they push very hard during the offseason to find a taker for Ryan Braun. I really think they do, because now you're going to have a full year of Ryan Braun showing that he is back to form. So what are your thoughts on the Lucroy Jeffers to the Rangers and Will Smith to the Giants? What are your thoughts on those trades?
Well, they lost Lucroy, but then they added a prospect in Susick, and this is a guy you don't really know what you're going to get there. I mean, it's hard to replace a Lucroy bat, and the Brewers got a lot out of Jonathan Lucroy. I mean, give credit to him; he was a ultimate pro in Milwaukee. Would have been nice, like you said, if he went to Cleveland. But unfortunately, when you put those clauses in contracts, they're there for a reason. And I think they got, like I said, I like the deal. They've got a guy, the center fielder is supposed to be a 25-25 guy. You're talking, Evan, the opportunity to add some major depth to a rebuild. And I like it. I mean, as far as what you're looking at, we had talked about, okay, let's keep Jonathan Lucroy around. Maybe he can be part of the rebuild. Well, you got to get players. They don't have those players on the team right now, and sometimes you got to move pieces. But I like the return. I think they got, like I said, a fair deal with Jonathan Lucroy. And I really jumped up and down for joy with Will Smith, Evan. I mean, that was a heck of a deal. To be able to move Will Smith and get good return, again, another prospect, very smart. The Brewers are doing some good things. You mentioned the Twitter poll numbers, Evan, and I don't know how you give them any lower than a B. I give them an A. I think they did great. I think they moved.
Can I interrupt you for a second, though? I think the reason why people grade it below an A and even below a B is they look at the deal that the Brewers were going to get from the Indians. Four guys, top 30, all top 20 from the Indians organization, and it didn't happen. And with Lucroy, there are a lot of guys that wanted the Brewers to get one of the top prospects for the Rangers, Gallo, but they didn't. And I'm kind of glad that they did, because Gallo's a strikeout machine. He's basically another Chris Carter. But anyway, didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to share that for why I think.
Yeah, well, those fans that wanted that, that's great. I would have wanted it too. However, it didn't happen. That's the business side of it. It's not like the Brewers pulled out of that. So, they made the chance.
They made the chance happen. And at that point, there's nothing you can do about that. But I'll tell you what, Evan, I like the direction they're going. I like these young guys. Now it's about developing. And we've also mentioned this on the show many times. You can have as many prospects as you want, but now you have to develop them. And you don't just get prospects and they're instant all-stars. The development process, we're going to see how good they've reorganized this system and put together their development program. With a lot of young guys, we got to see them, we got to get up. And, I mean, there are two sides to this story. One is you bring them up to the bigs and you throw them into the fire and let them learn on the go, or you develop them in AAA and AA. And it'll just be interesting to see what the Brewers do and when these guys are major league ready. And again, what's going on with the Brewers this year, Evan, I am more than happy with. I watch games. I've been to games when they played Pittsburgh. I like the direction. I like the young guys that are playing hard. So I'm okay with everything that's going down in Milwaukee right now. And, you know, we'll see if there's any more moves that are made now after the non-waiver trade deadline. I'm not sure how much more will go down for Milwaukee, but, you never know. I mean, it's interesting. If the right deal comes around, you could see one of these deals try to get done here with the after the non-waiver. So who else do you think was a big winner today, Evan? I think there was a ton, and we don't have enough time to talk about all the winners. But when you just look at some of the big names that are out there, you know, throw out a couple teams that you think really improved their chances to make a push to the playoffs, or, you know, maybe even did well in a rebuild like the Brewers did.
Yeah, well, the Rangers definitely, getting Lucroy, Jeffers, Beltran, and Lucas Harrell, Dario Alvarez from the Braves, they definitely improved their organization big time, making a push for the World Series. They're currently division leaders, but they needed something. Other organizations, I think, did well. You know, the New York Yankees, I think they did really well. They traded Arodas, Chapman, Carlos Beltran, Andrew Miller, Ivan Noah to the Pirates. They're talking about what the, you know, Pirates, you know, pitching. I think you're talking about not too long ago, Troy. They got Ivan Nova from the Yankees to the Pirates, and Vicente Campos. That's who the Yankees sent away. And they got Clint Frazier from the Indians. They got Adam Warren from the Cubs. They got Labor Torres from the Cubs, Dylan Tate from the Rangers, Justin Sheffield from the Indians. I'm not going to name them all, but the Yankees restocked their farm system. They're one of the weakest farm systems in all of baseball, so now they're one of the stronger systems in all of baseball. The guys who the Yankees, Indians, and the Cubs, they're all top 100 prospects in baseball. And that's what the Yankees needed to do. They have a lot of salary coming off the books over the next several years, with Sabathia and A-Rod and Teixeira, to name a few. They, I think, needed a rebuild just about as bad, if not worse, than the Brewers did. But these prospects that the Yankees got from the Indians and the Cubs are going to potentially get the Yankees back to consistent contenders. And that's who I'll share. And the Mets getting Jay Bruce was kind of huge too, but the Yankees and the Rangers are the two teams I'll mention. I won't, mention every other team because I don't want to, steal all your thunder. But those are two that I think deserve a lot of mentioning for improving their immediate chances in the Rangers and their future with the Yankees.
Yeah, well, I think the Rangers, landing Lucroy, gave him a push, but I'm also not overly impressed with Texas, not really improving. They improved the back end, but they didn't improve their starting pitching. So we've always talked about postseason and being able to move forward in advance and need starting pitching. So I liked what the Rangers did, but I also think they missed out big time in trying to get a quality starting pitcher. Now, they had to make a choice. Are they going to give up prospects for a bat in Lucroy, or were they going to go out and try to get another dominant starter? So they decided that the bats were a little more important at that position, and so be it. We'll see how that plays out for them. You know, and then when I look at it, I have to agree with you with the Yankees. You know, I thought they did a good job, and they moved Nova to the Pittsburgh Pirates. That was something that had been talked about a few weeks ago, and it was pure rumor at that time, and they pulled the deal, and they got it done, and I'm not really sure, you know, when you look at it, you know, maybe a change of scenery is what he needed. You know, he hasn't been a dominating pitcher, and I don't think he will be dominating one, two guys, but he could fall into one of the three, four, five roles. There's a team, Evan, unfortunately, I think, that is having a great year, that also did wonderful in the trade deadline portion. They knocked down this deal before today, but the Cubs, I mean, they got Chapman. And then they got Joe Smith from the Angels. They also got Mike Montgomery earlier before the trade deadline. So, you know, for them to get Chapman, and again, that was for the Yankees, and the Yankees got, you know, a haul, like you said. So I think the Cubs did well, you know, to add to their roster. They just keep adding, and that's going to be, you know, a team that is going to have to be reckoned with, you know, for not just this year, but I think even in the years to come. The crazy move, Evan, and I'm going to switch gears now as I look at the time. A crazy move for me, and I really didn't understand it, was the Atlanta Braves picking up Matt Kemp. And it just, I kind of scratched my head when I heard that deal go down a couple days ago. I'm like, Matt Kemp to the Braves. I'm trying to figure that one out. A huge salary. You know, a big bat, but why the Braves? I mean, they didn't give up a whole lot for him in Oliveira, but it just didn't make sense to me. I know the Padres were trying to deal the salary away, and maybe the Braves were the only taker, but Evan, I got a question for you. The Atlanta Braves are in the same situation as the Milwaukee Brewers. They're in a pure rebuild mode. They're not very good. Why would they take on that contract? Because that contract in itself is going to make it hard for them to move him once again. I don't know if they did it to try and use him as trade bait, but he didn't go anywhere today. And he'll probably clear waivers because no team will pick up that salary. But I'm just trying to figure this out. I know Oliveira had some off-the-field issues. So the Braves really didn't lose in the deal. But I just wonder, Evan, what your thoughts are on a rebuilding team picking up a huge player salary in a trade like this.
It doesn't make sense to me. I get what the Padres are doing. They wanted to dump salary because the guy who the Padres traded Kemp for, the Padres designated for him assignments immediately. So he may be part of the Pirates minor league system, but, yeah, they designated him for assignment right away. So for them, it was all about salary. I don't know what the Braves were doing. I really don't. Matt Kemp is a shell of himself. He is far from the MVP contender he used to be. He can't run in the outfield anymore. Doesn't have it anymore. And this is a rebuilding team. This isn't a team that's looking for, you know, like what the Yankees did in, I think it was 96, and they traded for an aging David Justice to give an extra bat on the team to push them over the top. Or when the Yankees traded for Cecil Fielder for an extra bat off the bench, even though Cecil was on his way out of the league. That Kemp is on his way out. He doesn't have much left in the tank, and they trade for Matt Kemp on a rebuilding team. It makes no sense. It doesn't. I don't know what the Braves were doing. I know they got a bunch of prospects for a couple of the trades they did make, but I don't know what they were doing by this trade. I really don't. I'm baffled by it. It's not like they can just cut him and clear salary because they would have to eat that contract. But, yeah, it's just stupid that the Braves traded for Matt Kemp, but great for the Padres because the Padres got that. What was a horrible trade for them to begin with, and they traded for Kemp. they got him out of town, and they can focus on what seems to have been the rebuild for the last 30, 40 years for the Padres. I know it hasn't quite been that long, but it's been quite a long time since the Padres have been relevant. I don't think they made the playoffs since they lost to the Yankees in the World Series in, I believe, 1999. So I don't know what the Braves are doing, but smart by the Padres for getting rid of them.
Oh yeah, I mean the Padres. I don't even want to say they won in the deal, but they kind of did. I mean Oliveira, he was suspended by the league for violating the domestic abuse policy. He'll probably be assigned somewhere, and they'll probably monitor that situation very closely. But they got rid of a lot of money. And in Major League Baseball, money and salary cap, I mean, people want to, you know, make sure that they have that money there. So I thought the Padres did well in that category. Now, quickly, Evan, we just got a couple minutes. And, of course, being in Western PA, and we do have a number of Western PA followers, they thought the world was ending this weekend, Evan, when Mark Melancon got traded. And they said, oh, my, how can you trade Mark Melancon, an all-star closer? And so my question to you, Evan, is they did some other deals today, but I want to go back to the Mark Melancon trade. You're a couple games out. How did you feel when you heard that the Pirates had dealt Mark Melancon? Do you think they had given up, or do you think it was a strategic move to try and position themselves to do some things basically today?
I don't know what the Pirates are doing, because they also traded Francisco Laureano to the Blue Jays to go along with the gentleman you said. I don't really know what the Pirates are doing. I really don't. And they basically stole Ivan Nova from the Yankees. They traded him to, Yankees traded him to the Pirates for two players to be named later. Not one, but two players to be named later. So they got Ivan Nova, right-handed pitcher, who's been I would say, average starter thus far. And then Drew Hutchinson, I don't know a lot about. But I don't know who they got for the other guy you had mentioned. I don't know who they got. But I don't know if the Pirates are throwing in the towel or what they're doing. I really don't. I'm baffled by it. I don't know what they're doing. And it, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But what are your thoughts on the Pirates, being that you're in the Pittsburgh area?
Well, first, I'm surprised they got anything in return when I'm going through this. Liriano was not having a good year. He had signed that big deal, and he was not anywhere close to being the pitcher that he had in the past. He's been struggling all year, Evan, walking players left and right, ERA just outrageously high. And for them to be able to deal him, I thought that was a win for the Pirates. Because you all know that, Evan, that psyche is part of any game, and not just baseball. I mean, they didn't get a huge return. They got Drew Hutchinson from Toronto. But Liriano was struggling mightily this year, Evan. I'm surprised they got anything for him. I'm also surprised they got anything for John Neese, who that was a trade that they had made with Neil Walker to the Mets. And Neese didn't do anything. He actually got bumped out of the starting rotation into the bullpen. Those two names surprised me from the fact that I was surprised that they were able to move them and get anything in return. And all of a sudden, Johnny's going back to the Mets. I mean, it's kind of weird. They did get, like I mentioned earlier, they got Nova from the Yankees. And then they picked up a couple other players in that Melancon deal. But, Evan, I look at the Pirates, and all of a sudden, fans are now thinking, oh, well, we've got to be in the wild card and we've got to contend for a World Series. At the end of the day, when they traded Melancon, my first thought was, at the end of the year, he was going to be able to be a free agent, and I don't think that the Pirates would have offered him a qualifying offer of $15 million. To pay $15 million to a closer is outrageous. I couldn't see the Pirates doing that. So at the end of the year, Mark Melancon was probably going to walk away anyway. And now you got something in return for him. You have Watson, who was the setup man, that can step in there now. He hasn't really proven himself as a closer. Mark Melancon has. But I heard something really interesting on sports radio. It was yesterday, actually, on my way back home, is that in order to have your closer dominate in the playoffs, you have to have the lead. And the Pirate bats right now are not producing. So it's great to have Mark Melancon, but what is he going to do, sit in the bullpen as you lose the wild card game again? I mean, that was the quote that came out. And I just kind of had to giggle because it absolutely made sense. Are you just going to hope to get to the wild card and then you're going to let Mark Melancon sit back there with $15 million and not even get on the field? It's a possibility that could happen. So how do you improve that? You build. And I thought they built. You know, had a good return for Melancon. You know, could they have gotten more? Maybe. But at the end of the year, he was going to walk away anyway. So with that said, Evan, I'm looking at the time. We're already over our live time. Anything else for the listeners tonight?
No, I got enough to add.
Wonderful. Well, we'll get back with everybody tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Have a great night, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.